800.
Well, why did the Montreal Impact just get a sweet tax break while your taxes went up? And why did the Canadians see their property taxes go down on the Bell Center in just the last little while? With more on this, let's join Moshe Lander, economics professor at Concordia. Hi, Moshe.
Hello.
So, listen, I read these stories. I read the story about the Bell Center earlier this month, and then I read the Impact story that just came out, and it boils my blood that sports teams are getting these significant tax breaks. Does it boil your blood, or do you see some sense in this?
Oh, no, it upsets me too, but I can at least see a little bit of politicians' logic in what's going on.
Okay, so what is that? What's the logic?
So sports franchises make the same argument to every city across the board, that they bring tremendous economic benefits, more so than commercial offices that have headquarters or that have offices. And so for that reason, they need some sort of special treatment, because without them, the city would be hollowed out and dead. Mm-hmm. The fact is that's not true, but that's at least the argument that they make, and politicians buy into it and give them whatever they want.
Okay, so it's not true. So doesn't the city know that? So they get the argument from the sports teams. Can't they just say, you know what? We appreciate your concern. We appreciate your argument, but too bad, so sad.
Yeah, absolutely they could, and they never do. You know, the reality is that the Montreal Canadiens are the third most valuable franchise in the NHL, and they're worth somewhere in the vicinity of about $2 billion Canadian, give or take.
Yeah.
Consider the value of things like Apple and Microsoft and Amazon and, you know, like industry leaders, and they dwarf the value of the Montreal Canadiens. But the Montreal Canadiens get 3 or 4 pages every day of the newspaper. They get segments on newscasts. They get an entire radio station across the hall from you that's devoted to talking about the Canadiens.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, they can claim an outsized economic impact, and that's why they deserve it.
Okay, but they're also claiming, you know, in the case of the Canadiens, right, it was the property valuation on the Bell Center that's been plummeting, right? It's lower than ever, which I don't get for a building that is in demand, that I think is the second most busy arena in North America. So does that hold water with you? Oh, well, it's, you know, it's an arena and it's getting older, it's worth less, whereas everyone else's property values go up.
Right. So the reality is that on one level, it is true. As that arena gets older, it is nearing the end of its shelf life. An arena, the Forum notwithstanding, usually doesn't last beyond, say, about 35 to 40 years. So there's only a little bit of life left in that Bell Center.
Really?
So on that,
I mean, Moshe, you've been to that. The facility is still beautiful. It still works. It's functional. The sound quality is great. People have a great, like, it's like, that's, I don't think it's at near end of life. I think it's never been better, actually.
Well, they did put in a lot of money in renovating it a few years back, and they kind of updated the screens and the seating and things like that. But if you take a look around the NHL, save for Madison Square Gardens in New York, which itself went through a $1 billion upgrade a few years back, the oldest arena right now is the Saddle Dome in Calgary, and that's going to be replaced in the next couple of years, and that's approaching 40 years old. So, yeah, I agree. You can push these things to 60, 70 years. Maple Leaf Gardens, the Forum, Chicago Stadium, they all go that long.
Yeah.
But these days in modern design, it really doesn't last beyond 40 years. They just decide that the maintenance cost, the operating cost, the cost of just trying to keep it modern, it's almost cheaper to just knock it down and start over again. So in that sense, then, from an accounting principle, you know, you write down the value of your asset the same way you write down the value of your car over time.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree.
So then which is it then? Is it a tax break, or, you know what, that's actually very reasonable?
It's both. It's that it's a very easy sell, right?
So
where the city is now trying to discuss their budgetary issues and how they're going to come up with money, this is one of those cases where they can say to the Canadians, look, I appreciate that the value of your asset is naturally declining because it's getting older, and it does need more and more maintenance. But the fact is that you're right. That value of that stadium now is more valuable for Evenco than it is for the Montreal Canadiens. That thing is used almost every single day of the year, and for that reason alone, they could justify a higher property tax, not because of the value of the building itself, but because the value of what goes on inside the building.
So let's talk about the Impact then, who are in a stadium that is not that old, and now they're seeing their property taxes go down 38% while it's going up for the rest of us. So, you know, okay, Bell Center's aging. Maybe I'll give you that, even though I think it's never been better. But what's the argument with the Stade Saputo?
It's as like a lot of stuff out there, it's a stadium that's in the wrong end of town. And so it's not generating the economic impact, no pun intended, mm-hmm. that the Bell Center could at least make a claim that it is. And the fact is that, you know, the impact as a performance is not doing as well as its competition, say, in Toronto. And so because of that, there's a dwindling value of economic activity that's going on around that stadium. And the fact that it already seems to need some renovations and upgrades, I don't agree with it, but at least that's the argument that's being put forward to the city.
I do want to point out the argument that the impact we're going with. They wanted a reduction, right? They were paying $2 million a year in property taxes. They wanted it reduced 91% to 111,000 a year. They wanted a 91% reduction. But they got 38%. Like, did they ask for something so ridiculous that the city was going to say, well, we'll give you half of that no matter what?
That's exactly it. Isn't that great negotiation? Ugh, ask
Jesus.
For something extreme and then settle for something that's way better than what you would have hoped for. So,
again,
it's one of those things that sports franchises occupy a disproportionate amount of our time and our enthusiasm, but they don't deliver those economic benefits. And politicians are too afraid to stand up to a sports franchise and say, you know what? You're paying, and if you don't like it, pack your bags and go find somewhere else. We don't need you. The reality is, and you and I have discussed this before, these teams don't contribute anything economically net to the city. They just replace economic activity from one section to another.
And what are they going to, like, the thing is, we're out of time, Moshe, so just quickly on this one, like, what are they going to do? Like, if you don't reduce the taxes, what, the Canadians going to move? Or are they going to move to Quebec? What are they going to do?
That's exactly. Call their bluff and say, you don't like it? See you. But again, you don't want to be the mayor that says goodbye to the Montreal Canadiens or loses the impact. So more often than not, they blink first.
It's so frustrating. Moshe, thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime. Take care.
Moshe Lander, economics professor at Concordia University. Coming up on the program, cities all over the world are trying to... Oh, no, not Coldplay. Oh, no. Oh, he did it again. Not that guy, Chris Martin and the Coldplay. They love that song. I'm not a Coldplay fan. I'll just say it. Good job, Jay, though.